and undivided attention to the word of the Lord. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of Peter, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. What a beautiful picture we have here of the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, Matthew is including these stories to encourage our faith in the Son of God, the one who is able to command the wind and the waves, the one who is able to walk on the water, and yes, indeed, the one who is able to save. So, we pick up the story here. Jesus has just performed this incredible miracle of feeding the 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fish. And he sends his disciples off in a boat, the fishing boat, because, the top four of the disciples are fisher folk, after all. And so they get in this boat, and he sends them to the other side, and he's going to go to the other side later. And so he disperses the crowd, Jesus does. And then he goes off to be alone, it says, to pray. This is the beautiful habit of Jesus. As he prepares his heart, he's always getting his heart up in the Lord. I just want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters. Jesus, of course, is the Lord of life. But he is also our example. He is the one that leads us. If we're going to stay connected with God, then it's going to be because we take time to be with the Lord. And this is exactly what Jesus is doing in this moment. So he goes off to pray and to be alone with the Lord. Meanwhile, the disciples have gotten into the boat and they're well across the Sea of Galilee. They're probably 3 or 4 miles into the trip that is about 5 miles to the other end, okay? And a storm has come up. And it is windy and it is scary. Huh? But it's not as scary as the next thing that they're going to see. Because in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus goes out to his disciples walking on the water. Now they see something in the dim light. Who's to know if maybe there was a moon or whatever was going on. But they were able to see, and they were afraid because they said, "It is a ghost. What's going to happen here?" It's a phantasm in the Greek. And immediately Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. It is I." That Greek there is reminiscent of the words of Yahweh, of God Almighty in the Old Testament, "I am." Don't be afraid. I am. Fill in the blank. I am your God. I am with you. I am your Savior. I am. Jesus is the great I am. And in the midst of the fear of those disciples, Jesus says,
Do not be afraid. It is I. Okay, so now they know that it's Jesus. Kind of scary, kind of weird. What is Jesus doing walking on the water in this storm? Well, Peter, ever impetuous Peter, says, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come out and allow me also to walk on the water. And Jesus simply says, come. Love it. All right, so Peter jumps out onto the water, and oh, guess what? He starts walking. Amazing, miraculous, and he starts walking over to where Jesus is. But then something happens. He gets his eyes off of Jesus. Does that ever happen in your life?
Yes.
Yeah, you get your eyes off of Jesus, the author and perfecter. He is the one who began a good work in you and will be faithful to complete it. But why did he get his eyes off of Jesus? It says that he saw the waves and he saw the effect of the wind on the waves. And maybe in that moment he realized, what is going on? No human being should be able to walk on water. And immediately he started to what? Sink. Oh yeah. The circumstances of life. The things that we've just been singing about, my brothers and sisters, you know, the slings and arrows, the difficulties, the challenges, the health challenges, the emotional challenges, the spiritual challenges, the financial challenges of our lives overwhelm us when we get our eyes off of Jesus. Peter's faith falters. Because he got his eyes off of Jesus. And he got his eyes on the circumstances of his life. I'm just thinking about a song. Greater is he that is in me and he that is in the world. Whatever life may throw at you, in Christ, you are more than an overcomer. You understand that? Jesus, Lord, Kyrios, save me. In that moment, Peter was going down. He was drowning. And he cried out to the Lord, Kyrios, Lord, save me. And I love how the word next is immediately. Jesus is right there, grabbing hold of him. Jesus saves. Sometimes when I find myself in an overwhelming circumstance, my brothers and sisters, when my heart is down, when I feel tired or weary, I cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy. The ancient church would sing that song, Kyrie eleison. Anybody familiar with that? Kyrie eleison? Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Christe eleison. Christ, have mercy. I find it, for me, as I pray that prayer, yeah, it's a little repetitive, but it's lyrical and it's musical and it gets my focus on the Lord. Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison. Because I don't know exactly what's going on in that moment, but when I'm voicing that out, somehow that prayer blocks out the fear that I'm experiencing in that moment. I'm filling my heart with a cry for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is compassionate and he is merciful. And he hears the cries of his children. Cry. Peter cried out. One of the lines in the song we just sang had to do with the alarms. Okay, here's a little aside. Alarm. That's from the French, means to set to tears. Larme, or tears. Alarm. To set to tears. The alarms of life, the challenges of life that overwhelm us, my brothers and sisters, call us to cry out to the Lord. Well, and Jesus saves. He does. And many of us here, maybe every one of us here, can attest to the fact that Jesus has reached out and held us fast. And then he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" I have to say, it seems like a bit of a rebuke, but I don't take it as a rebuke in my own life. When I get my eyes off of Jesus and then I cry out to him and he holds me fast, I resemble that remark. You've heard that expression? Oh, I resemble that remark. Oh, you of little faith. I'm like, yeah, that's me. Jesus is just speaking the truth over my life. Oh, you of little faith. I love you so much. I love you so much. Oh, you of little faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a free gift of God. Not because of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created for good works that he has laid out in advance for us to do. My brothers and sisters, I take that verse to say, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace, salvation, and faith are all a gift from God. Otherwise, we could boast. Oh, my faith is so big. My faith is so great. Heaven forbid that we would ever find ourselves in that place, that we would brag about a gift that God has given to us, the gift of faith. Now, Jesus wants to encourage us to fan that gift into a flame, right? And so he says that, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? But you understand, can you imagine Peter going home? We know Peter was married, right? Because it says there that in one of the Gospels that Jesus was in the home of Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever, and Jesus healed her. Okay, so I'm just like, if I had a story like this, guys, you get home and you're going to tell your wife, you will not believe what just happened to me. Right? And your wife, after she hears the story, is like, yeah, that's a tall tale. I find that very hard to believe. Okay. Peter's a faithful witness. The disciples are faithful witnesses. This story is written there, not just for that generation, but for all generations of Christians. So that when we read this text by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we may know what? The very thing that happens next in this text. It says, truly, this is the Son of God. And they worshiped him. Wow. They saw that he walked on the water. They saw that he saved Peter. And then they saw that he had power over the elements. And why not? Because he is the creator of all things. He made the wind and the water. So of course he's able to speak over that and say, be still. And those three signs led all of those disciples to say, surely this is the Son of God. Now, be clear on what's being declared here. Son of God. This is God. This is the ruler. This is the Lord. And I want to read to you from Colossians, because Paul so beautifully describes for the church in Colossae and also for us today this reality of, you know, kind of like a theological filling out of this story. You can pick it up in the verse 13 of Colossians 1. I'm reading from the Living Bible, which is a Bible that really spoke to me in my early years of my faith. I came to Jesus Christ, came to know Christ as my Savior when I was 13. And, you know, the Word just started leaping off the pages for me as the Spirit began to do his work in my life. But listen to this. For God has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom Okay, remember, this is the fourth watch of the night, probably 4 o'clock in the morning, and it is a storm on the waters. Out of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Son of God. Verse 14, who bought our freedom with his blood and forgave us all of our sins. Verse 15, Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. Surely this is the Son of God, all those disciples declare. He existed before God made anything at all, and in fact, Christ himself is the Creator who made everything in heaven and on earth, the things that we can see and the things that we cannot see. The spirit world, with its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and its authorities, all were made by Christ for his own use and for his glory. Verse 17, he was before all else began, and it is his power that holds everything together, the Son of God. He is the head of the body made up of all of his people, that is, his church, which he began. And he is the leader of all those who arise from the dead, and so that he is first in everything, preeminent in all things. For God wanted all of himself to be in his Son. You see what's happening here. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that great apostle Paul is filling out for us our understanding of who is the Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is the one who is able to save. We cannot save ourselves. My brothers and sisters, I hope and pray as you go out this week and do the work that you do, that you don't think that you're the one that has to make it happen if it's going to be. Yeah, again, there is a place for your part because we are in partnership with God as we live out our lives here in this generation. But I challenge you and I encourage you, keep your eyes on the Savior. And always pray that prayer, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Amen.